This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C., a busy week in Washington and around the world. We've got two congressmen joining us, Congressman Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania, Congressman Tom McClintock of California, as well as a discussion about Syria, the IRS, and what we're doing around the world. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Expectations are high. They are high for the United States, perhaps even more so for Russia to deliver on the promise of this moment. This is not a game.
What about this, Charles? President Putin in this op-ed in the New York Times.
Well, these are the fruits of a completely incompetent, epically incompetent foreign policy, diplomacy by Obama. Here is the president of the greatest democracy on earth being lectured, insultingly really, in an American newspaper about human rights, about international law, about the protection of the elderly and children in wartime.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They used names like Tea Party or Patriots, and they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title. That was wrong. The IRS would like to apologize for that.
Stunning new emails are showing that the woman at the center of the IRS targeting scandal was, in fact, specifically scrutinizing conservative groups. Lois Lerner, as you all remember, took the Fifth back in May.
Because I'm asserting my right not to testify, I know that some people will assume that I've done something wrong. I have not.
I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken any laws.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It has been a busy week at the American Center for Law and Justice and our work around the world. Skip Ash, our senior counsel with the ACLJ, former member of our armed forces, worked at the Pentagon, has been in our office, ACLJ Jerusalem in Israel, working with the team and government leaders there. David French, who's joining us today, is working on two cases he'll be arguing, preparing for court. My dad testified to a U.S. Senate committee on a judicial nominations bill that would expand our federal judiciary and give Obama 91 new appointments. 91 new appointments. He testified against that. That same time, an hour and a half later, I spoke at the Exempt America from Obamacare rally with Senator Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, a number of members of Congress, great friends of ours like Huell's Camp, and you got Paul Brown from Georgia, Louis Gohmert, and others. I mean, the list goes on, Mike Meadows. And a number of members of Congress, Tea Party Patriots, put that on. We thank them for that. We have got, of course, the Syria issue developing and the launch of a new website, which is a soft launch today. All of you will get an email about it tomorrow. BeHeardProject.com. BeHeardProject.com. And by the way, if you go to SaveSaeed.org, it will redirect there now. And you'll see Saeed is the focus, but it really does put on display all of the work we're doing for persecution around the world, and a big victory. In God We Trust, constitutional. We filed a brief on behalf of 41 members of Congress, 97,000-plus people, all of you who joined in that committee, and we won. Federal court in New York tossed it out. It was a challenge from, you guessed it, Freedom From Religion Foundation. So a victory for In God We Trust, our national motto, course, on our coinage. We've also got the work going on in Israel, our team there, the Syria crisis. David prepared for two cases. We'll talk to him about that. The Senate testimony, the rally. We were on television yesterday. My dad was on CNBC with Kudlow talking IRS and these new emails, which we'll go through. And I was on with Neil Cavuto on Fox News talking about the same issue with the IRS. A lot going on. Check out BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com. And if you want to sign our petition, I think it's been fairly successful, folks. Let's make sure we don't aid Al-Qaeda in anything we do with Syria. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition online. But check out BeHeardProject.com. Touch.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Time this week in Washington, D.C. and around the world with the American Center for Law and Justice. This is why your support to the ACLJ matters. We're, by the way, we've got an upcoming trip to Brazil with my dad and a number of our team from Israel. We'll be there on behalf of Saeed Abedini. They played a crucial role with the release of Youssef Nadarkhani. We'll be back. We've got an office there, the BCLJ, Brazilian Center for Law and Justice. Very active. It's the fifth largest country in the world, and we now have quite a large presence there. We'll be bringing my dad there for the first time to meet with religious leaders, government leaders, people like the vice president, possibly the president, ministers in the government, senators who have led the charge on behalf of these persecuted Christians in Iran. And we really need their help with Saeed Abedini, an American in prison in Iran, because he is a Christian. So we've got that trip upcoming. Of course, need your support to put all of that together and that team that requires that. Congressman Mike Kelly is going to be joining us the next segment of the broadcast to talk about these new IRS emails that have showed up. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. We'll talk about it more with Congressman Mike Kelly. Two cases David French is preparing for court on. We've got Skip Ash, who is just on his way back from ACLJ Jerusalem in Israel. He's a senior counsel, oversees a lot of our international and national security work. My dad testified to a U.S. Senate committee on a judicial nominations bill he was against, and we are against, that would give President Obama 91 new appointments. 91 new federal court lifetime appointments if this law were to go through. It would expand the federal judiciary. I spoke at the Exempt America rally an hour after he gave that testimony at the U.S. Senate with three U.S. senators, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, a number of members of the House of Representatives, Tea Party Patriots leading that, teaparty.net, a shout-out to them, For America and the other sponsors there as well. ACLJ was a sponsor of that rally. You can check it out on aclj.org. We had a big victory. We represented 41 members of Congress, 97,000 Americans, 97,000 plus Americans, in a lawsuit brought by Freedom From Religion Foundation against our national motto, again, In God We Trust. It was tossed out of court. We won. They lost. We filed a brief, again, representing 41 members of Congress. That happened yesterday. That was federal court in New York. The court saying very clearly, no violation of the First Amendment, no violation of the free exercise of religion, and Congress shall not establish the Establishment Clause. So another victory against the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Let me go to David French. David, you're preparing for two cases as well. Sometimes we don't get into all of this on radio. We've also launched BeHeardProject.com, where over 2,200 people Just today it launched. 2,200 people. It was a soft launch. The big email will go out Monday, folks, to all of you who are on the ACLJ email list. This is the new project for Saeed and persecuted Christians. Over 2,200 people have already signed a letter to the new president of Iran, the way we're approaching this. And we'll explain that more next week. But, David, you're also preparing to go to court.
Right. That's we were just saying in the break, you're wearing me out talking about all the stuff we're doing. It's amazing. But, yeah, we have two key cases right now on college campuses that we're working hard on. One, on behalf of a professor who was denied a promotion because he is a conservative and a Christian. Another one on behalf of a professor who was fired after he exposed junk science and a fake scientist from the radical environmentalist left. I mean, it's both of those cases. That's where our kids are being educated, and they're systematically excluding conservatives and Christians. And then we had a big victory just yesterday down in Florida. In addition to In God We Trust, there was a Christian business where a group of atheists was trying to force the Christian business to create and spread misleading and false advertising about Christ. And we were able to step in and prevent that business from having his First Amendment rights violated. So, Jordan, there's an awful lot going on.
Folks, we will be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Congressman Mike Kelly joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. Then Congressman Tom McClintock joining us in the second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live, talking about the war powers, Syria, and those issues. We're going to get to all of it today. The IRS targeting we'll focus on with Mike Kelly. He's on the subcommittee that will be that the acting IRS commissioner, I believe it's Dan, it's on Wednesday of next week. The acting IRS commissioner is going to have to answer to this subcommittee on why we're now getting all these emails from Lois Lerner from the Ways and Means Committee instead of the IRS investigation that Danny Werfel was supposed to do.
Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating hearing. It's going to be a day of reckoning for Danny Werfel, Jordan, because you've outlined this. These emails that come out that prove that this was in D.C. all along. It was not in Cincinnati. Lois Lerner knew that. We have the emails to prove it. We also have emails to prove that not only was she interacting with the FEC, but she was actually cheering for the FEC to suppress the Tea Party so that she didn't have to do it. Of course, we know the FEC did not step in and do that, and so Lois Lerner did. I think that Danny Werfel next Wednesday, Jordan, he's going to have to answer two big questions. Why does Lois Lerner still have a job, and why didn't he tell us about these emails? Why did we have to read about it after the committee's investigation on the pages of the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, Lois Lerner, her top assistant, Sharon Light, and these emails are all public. You can read them, and actually it was Mike Kelly who's got them up on his website, and he'll be joining us the next segment of the broadcast live, the congressman from Pennsylvania, on that subcommittee that'll be grilling the acting IRS commissioner. Her top assistant sends her an AFP story about Democrats saying that anonymous donors are unfairly influencing Senate races and putting the Senate majority, Democrat majority, in jeopardy. This was July of 2012, before the November election. Lois Lerner responds, official IRS email, perhaps the FEC will save the day. Well, the whole story is about helping Democrats. So saves the day means saves the day for Democrats. And this is proof of partisan politics, again, from Lois Lerner. But, you know, it doesn't even take that. That's 2012. Go back to 2011 when Lois Lerner says, in all caps, these cases should not is in all caps, go through Cincy. Cincy being the Cincinnati office that she blamed on May 10th for, and the IRS continues to blame for these problems. In fact, it's even worse than that. She starts off in one email. This is February 1st, 2011. Number one, comments to her screening report. This is a report she receives on all the screenings that are going on. Number one, thanks, everyone. A couple of comments. This is to a number of people. Michael Cito, Holly Paz, who's named in our lawsuit. I mean, three or four other. Judith Kendall. The list goes on. Number one, Tea Party matter, very dangerous. That's what she says. This could be the vehicle to go to court on the issue of whether Citizens United overturning the ban on corporate spending applies to tax-exempt rules. Counsel, that's Chief Counsel's office, and Judy Kendall need to be in on this one. Please, needs to be in this. Cincy should probably, and this is in all caps, not have these cases. Holly, talking about Holly Paz, please see what exactly they have, please. Take those cases away from them. Tea Party matter, very dangerous because it may expand freedom, is what she's talking about in this email. So it wasn't very dangerous because it was going to look bad for the IRS. It was very dangerous because the Tea Party is very dangerous. Those are confirmed in these emails, folks. We'll be talking about it with Mike Kelly. We'll take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. I know it's a lot going on, and we wanted to go through all that. Also, we've still got our petition. I believe it's been very successful in convincing members of Congress, don't strike Syria if we're going to be aiding Al-Qaeda. Let's not do anything that helps Al-Qaeda. Our petition has been strong. The message has been sent loud and clear. We have the President of the United States backing off, Congress postponing the votes. Call now if you want to add your name to this petition. Final day to do that, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, because next week we are focusing on BeHeardProject.com and the upcoming one-year mark of Saeed Abedini's in prison in Iran, only because he's a Christian at Evin Prison. 1 year. The one-year anniversary coming up September 26th. Nagma Abedini, Saeed's wife, will be speaking at the Liberty University Convocation on September 16th. We'll be live-streaming that. So will Liberty University. We'll get to your phone calls now. Sharon in California on line one. Sharon, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. Thank you for all that you do. I just want to say that I am no fan of Vladimir Putin, and nor do I want to see these chemical weapons end up back in his hands. But I have to say that sometimes people need to be humbled, and that God uses our enemies to humble us.
Well, I think, listen, Sharon, let me go to David French on this, because, David, one, I think Vladimir Putin, the truth is, whether or not you like what the president's handled this, and I think he's botched this whole thing, and I mean, I think it's his fault. He opened the door to that op-ed. Vladimir Putin's claims were also ridiculous. Now, we have an office in Moscow, so to be careful there. They've got to work with that government. They've been there for 2 decades. We've had SCLJ, the Slavic Center for Law and Justice, based right off Red Square. Big team of lawyers there. But, David, that was a slap in the face, not just to the president, but to Americans, attacking American exceptionalism and acting as if Russia is just like us when it comes to human rights.
Right. As an American, I was embarrassed by that op-ed. I mean, I was embarrassed that our president had been so outmaneuvered that we're in the position we're in now. And then, you know, it was just embarrassing to read an op-ed from a foreign leader who's a brutal thug and tyrant himself, trying to lecture us on human rights and morality, and his quote about God at the end. I'm thinking, you know, this is a guy whose human rights record is abysmal, and he's lecturing us. It was a terrible moment.
Folks, when we come back, Congressman Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania will be talking about this IRS scandal. If you want to join our petition, no aid to Al-Qaeda, this is the time to do it, the final day. Call now, 877-989-2255. It sounds like, I mean, it's like so obvious, but this petition mattered. It was important. The president heard your message loud and clear, so did members of Congress. Call, join if you haven't yet, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast. We are joined by a great guest of ours. This is Jordan Seculo. Congressman Mike Kelly from Pennsylvania represents the 3rd District there. He is on the Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives and on the subcommittee on oversight that will be having a little hearing with the acting IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel the next week on Wednesday. That's the acting IRS Commissioner who came in after the scandal broke to clean things up and then issued a 30-day report saying no evidence of partisan politics. And now, as Congressman Kelly has posted on his website, all these emails that are being discussed in the news, I was discussing them yesterday on the news, so was my dad, are now showing that, well, it looks pretty partisan to everybody who can read these emails. Congressman Kelly, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, Jordan, thanks so much for having me on. And again, thank you for keeping this issue alive with the American people. I know they think that we've forgotten about it. We have certainly not. You know, Chairman Camp has made a pledge to the American people. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And as much as the administration would like to say, hey, nothing to see here, folks, let's move along, it's not that at all. We're getting more and more information daily as it comes forward. I think the committee's done a tremendous job dealing with thousands of pages of emails and looking through them. And we know now that it goes much, much higher than what we were first told.
And Congressman, I want to thank you for your efforts. We're talking to Congressman Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania's 3rd Congressional District. He'll be on the subcommittee that will be, again, holding this hearing with the acting IRS Commissioner, Danny Werfel, who said that there was no evidence of partisan politics at all. Let's go through some of these emails, Congressman Kelly. The first, it was February of 2011, February 1st, where Lois Lerner, responding to a screening report, says, number one, thanks, a couple of comments to her team. Tea Party matter, very dangerous. And the reason why is because it could be a vehicle to go to court and expand the Citizens United freedoms. Basically, there, some people thought in the beginning when they just saw the very dangerous, maybe she meant that the scandal would be very dangerous, the way that they handled it. But that's not at all what she was talking about. She thought it was very dangerous, Congressman, because it could be a vehicle to go to court.
Yeah, and as we go through these, Jordan, you know, Holly Paz is in this. They talk about the Judy Kendall. They talk about a lot of things in here that are very, to me, it's very revealing, and it really brings to the spotlight again, or sheds the light of day on something that Dr. Bustani, of course, is going to hold this hearing coming up. But we are really finding out more and more each day. And, I got to say this, and this is so critical. Your ability to keep this out in front of the American public, our ability to keep investigating it, is what makes this country great. We don't have to take a back seat to this, and we don't have to accept with blind faith that these people were acting in our best interest. We can see now that an agency, especially the IRS, which should not be tied to any political agenda, really was going out of their way to do just that. And to me, this is very troubling, very chilling, and the American people need to know that they've elected people, representatives, to go in and make sure that their best interests are protected. Each individual citizen can't come forward because of just the way things go, but for us, we are focused like a laser on getting to the bottom of this. You can't walk away from this stuff. And while I say Ms. Lerner has every right in the world to take the Fifth Amendment, how disappointing that she chose that path, and it further widened the gap between the American people, their trust and their faith in their government. This is what causes that loss of faith and that huge gap between what people think the government should be like and what it's actually performing like. So it's our duty. This is an obligation. You don't walk away from this one. We've got to get to the bottom of this.
Next email we have, Congressman, it was in June of 2012. Your office is released, and you've got those up on your website, yep. Mike Kelly's website. When she finds out that the report is coming out from the Treasury Inspector General on Tax Assessment, TIDCA, it is what it is, although the original story isn't as pretty as we like. This is all from Lois Lerner to her team again. Once we learn we were off track, we've done what we can to change, better educate, so we will get dinged, but we took steps before the dinging to make things better, and we have written procedures, so it is what it is. Now, this is now from a woman who has been on administrative leave. I think she should be fired and go through that process, but she has been put on administrative leave. So yeah, we have that in June, and then I'll jump to the July July one so we've got time with you, because then a month later, when she knows the report is coming out from Tidco, they know they're being investigated, she responds to one of her top assistants, Sharon Light, about to an email about how outside money is going to hurt Senate Democrats to keeping their Senate majority. She responds by saying perhaps the FEC will save the day. And Congressman Kelly, the only way you can read that response when you read the news story that her assistant Sharon Light forwarded to her is that saving the day would be saving the day for Democrats.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if this doesn't shed a light, or doesn't, and this is very easy to understand, you don't have to look deep into this one. The fact that she would say that and look to the FEC to do that, doesn't that raise really grave concerns among the American people about how badly we have been gamed as a people? Forget about Republicans and Democrats, independents and libertarians. Just think about the American people and the form of government we have that really, again, Jordan, faith and trust in the system. And when people do what they've done to game it, no wonder we have such a gap between people, what people want to believe or do believe. So we've got to work so hard to regain that trust, and we're going to do that. Again, listen, this is so disturbing, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. This wasn't two rogue staffers out in Cincinnati pushing the wrong buttons. My God, this goes all the way to the top, and it's going further to the top. And as Secretary or as Chairman Camp said at the very beginning, we will leave no stone unturned. We will keep going at this. We will start at the bottom, and we will work our way to the top. It eventually will work its way to the top as people at the lower levels start shedding light on what happened on those who were in charge of them. And we find out now that very lady who took the Fifth Amendment, what a disservice she has done to the American people, into our form of government. It is absolutely appalling that these are the type of people that serve.
And she literally wrote in her email, Congressman, that Cincy should probably, and then in all caps, not have these cases. And then to Holly Paz, Holly, please see what exactly they have, please, to take them back to Washington, D.C., that it was only Washington involved. So the moment she opened her mouth about this on May 10th of 2013, and the administration then falls in line and says, well, we think it was these rogue agents, but we'll get to the bottom of it. You know, my question for you, Congressman, is you've got the acting IRS commissioner coming before your subcommittee you're on next week. He issued a report, a 30-day review, saying that there was no evidence of partisan politics. Now, you've got emails from the IRS with a lot of evidence of partisan politics. How do you expect that hearing to go?
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to be a very calm meeting, and certainly I've been in now with Mr. Werfel twice. The first time he said, geez, I just got here, I'm just doing my investigation. It's very deep, it's going to take us a while. And then 30 days later, he gives us a clean bill of health. I don't buy that, and I don't buy where we are right now today. I think he has an awful lot to answer. And if we can find this in this Ways and Means Committee, can go through this and find these things the way they have, with, I mean, thousands of pages that they've gone through with very, very limited resources and personnel, where the heck are they gone with their investigation? I think it was just to let it sit, back burner it, let them run out the clock. They'll forget about it. You know what? I'm getting so sick and tired of people that make statements like, it is what it is, or what difference does it make? This is an administration that shirks all its responsibilities. Jordan, this is appalling, and the American people, if we're ever going to restore trust, we're going to go at this in a way that is very responsible, very diligent, very thoughtful, and in the end, we will base all our findings on facts, not an innuendo, and not on talking points that have been worn out and the people have lost faith in.
You know, Congressman, I got to say this. You get briefed. You know, you do your research. You do your work. That's why you're so good on these. I can't wait to see you before that subcommittee. I know we'll all be watching. Congressman Mike Kelly, Pennsylvania's third, but representing all of us on this issue. Congressman, as always, thank you for being with us on the show.
Thanks so much, Jordan.
Folks, we will come back. If you don't get the next 30 minutes, you can listen online at aclj.org or SiriusXM. We've got Congressman Tom McClintock also joining us. We'll be talking Syria. Check out BeHeardProject.com and aclj.org. No aid to Al-Qaeda in Syria. We'll be right back for the next 30 minutes.
The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Talking about freedom.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, and welcome back to the broadcast, folks. A lot coming up. We've got Congressman Tom McClintock of California's 4th Congressional District. We're going to talk about Syria. We're going to talk about war powers. We're going to talk about the upcoming vote, defunding Obamacare. And as we discuss that, let me play for you. I was at the Exempt America rally, participating there with Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Mike Lee, a number of the organizational leaders, the Tea Party Patriots who put on the event. I have to thank them and Jenny Beth Martin for organizing another great event. This was on Tuesday here in Washington, D.C., right in front of our nation's capital. You can see the video online at aclj.org. But it's about exempting America from Obamacare. We're going to talk about it with Congressman Tom McClintock coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. Here is some of my speech to the rally. Take a listen.
Everyone, thank you for being here today. I'll be very brief and to the point because the solution today is clear. We must defund Obamacare. Not only do all of us here today know defunding Obamacare is best for America, but nearly 100,000 Americans around the country have signed just our petition at the American Center for Law and Justice to delay, defund, and then ultimately defeat Obamacare once and for all. Now, we all know that the Affordable Care Act is neither affordable nor caring. Costs are rising, and people are losing coverage they were happy with. That's why all of us are here today, and that's why we all oppose the law, not just parts of it, but we oppose the law in its entirety. However, it's the Act portion of the law's title that is the biggest problem. In the United States of America, we have a little thing called the rule of law. It's colorblind, and it applies to all of us equally, regardless of anything. The president, though, wants to pick which portions of this law he's going to enforce, which part he's not going to enforce, and when he's going to enforce them, no matter what the law says. And it clearly says when the law goes into force. Mr. President, as we gather here today, we send you a clear message. You don't have the authority to change the law. But let's get to some common sense, because we have to be ready for this and these questions too. Dr. Ben Carson said that rather than delays, we should delay the whole thing permanently and come up with a real solution that works. And he's right, we have to come up with a real solution that works. But listen to this example. I think it makes sense for everybody here today. When you go buy a car and the dealer says to you, well, the car will be ready next year, you don't pay him for that car that day. You wait until the car's ready, and then you pay. It's no different with Obamacare. Unless, of course, you happen to be a major corporation or health insurance company, the chosen ones by President Obama that get exempted while the American people get punished. The Obama administration is awarding big business with exemptions from the disaster that is Obamacare while simultaneously punishing Americans two ways. Pay for a law already too broken to fix, or pay a penalty for failing to pay your fair share when Fortune 500 companies don't even have to comply. All Americans, the American people, as well as American businesses, should get an Obamacare exemption. The president and members of Congress must be put on notice that the American people will not tolerate paying for a law that's not ready to enforce. I want to thank Tea Party Patriots. I want to thank the members of Congress here today. And most importantly, I want to thank all of you who came out on this hot day in Washington, D.C. to defund Obamacare, stop Obamacare. Thank you, and God bless America. Thank you.
Folks, our efforts continue in court to fight Obamacare. You know, we've been very successful in challenging the HHS mandate. We've got upcoming hearings in Washington, D.C. next week, actually, as we continue to represent corporations opposed to the HHS mandate, exercising their freedom of religion. We'll talk about all of that and Syria with Congressman Tom McClintock when we come back. If you want to take a stand, it's been successful. Go to aclj.org, sign our petition. No support to Al-Qaeda in Syria. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. We're back. Congressman Tom McClintock.
God knows I want to break free.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Folks, welcome back to the broadcast. This is Jordan Seculo. This week in Washington, D.C., and last week there has been a debate, a constitutional debate, that arose from the president deciding finally to go to Congress, possibly, for an authorization of the use of force against Syria in light of the chemical weapons attack of August 21st. Of course, there was also a chemical weapons attack back in March that has not been determined which side was responsible. Then the president took his message to the nation and asked Congress to delay a vote. This all was before the president and his advisors and team were arguing that he had the constitutional authority to do these strikes without getting approval from Congress. Well, we have one congressman joining us now who strongly disagreed. Congressman Tom McClintock of California's 4th Congressional District, elected in November of 2008 to represent the 4th District, but he's also a member of the Budget Committee and the National Resources Committee. And Congressman McClintock, great to have you with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Let me ask you first, Congressman. There's been a debate that has always been ongoing in Washington about the executive power to respond with the use of force. Usually, the message is quite simple. If there's an imminent threat or an attack on America, that the president can respond and then informs Congress and goes through the War Powers Act, the War Powers Resolution, which has never been challenged in court but has been kind of accepted as the norm. And then there are those who would say that if it's not an imminent threat, you've got to get congressional authorization. And you believe very strongly, and that this message got to the president over, I think it was the American public, because of members of Congress like you speaking out, that with this situation in Syria, though it's horrendous and involved chemical weapons, it was not enough of an imminent threat to justify a strike without congressional authorization.
Well, there's nothing more clear in the American Constitution than that Congress has the sole authority to decide the question of war or peace. And it's only after Congress has made that decision that the president, as commander-in-chief, has the authority to execute it. In fact, James Madison, the father of the American Constitution, said that its single most important feature was the provision that gave Congress and not the president that decision. The debate that you reference really only began about 50 years ago. I mean, you can go back to World War II. The greatest provocation in the history of this country was the attack on Pearl Harbor. And up until this president, the greatest proponent of executive authority was FDR. But after the attack on Pearl Harbor, FDR realized that the only power that he has in the Constitution is to repel an attack, which is what he said on December the 8th, the day after the attack. He said, as commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. Even he understood. Even in the presence of that provocation, all he could do was order defensive measures. Anything else required an act of Congress, which he sought and received the next morning.
You know, it was interesting, Congressman McClintock. We're talking to Congressman Tom McClintock of California's 4th Congressional District, who made this address to Congress on the House floor on September 11th this week. On war, peace, and the Constitution, because during the president's speech, he invoked FDR. But it was interesting. We pointed out, and a number of commentators pointed out, and analysts pointed out, that he was invoking a president who was trying to build support for America entering World War II before the attacks on Pearl Harbor, but could not and did not act until we were attacked. And the idea here that it seems like, because of members of Congress like you, and you've been in meetings that we're not privy to as American citizens, but as an elected official, that this administration figured out that they had to take their case to Congress and obviously felt like the case was not strong enough. So we have a president who tells us all about this moral duty. I mean, if Americans would have watched his speech Tuesday night, you would, the first 90% of it, you thought we were already making strikes on Syria and that this was so important. And then you think, wait, that was August 21st. Now it's September 10th and we're getting this speech from the president. And then the last 10% of the speeches, but there's also this Russian proposal out there, and I don't want Congress to vote. What did you think about the president's speech and his remarks, and then asking Congress to postpone? Do you think it's because he was going to fail in his vote? Where, you know, if you were to have to vote today, had you made up your mind yet?
Oh, absolutely. It is the most foolish act we could possibly commit in the Middle East right now. I mean, lighting a match and then throwing it into that powder keg and expecting nothing to happen is simply foolish. We can remember World War One, which began with a series of obscure and insignificant events that set off a chain reaction that within just a few weeks consumed Europe in war. Imagine the chain of events that an American attack on Syria would produce. Syria would probably launch a retaliatory strike, probably through Hezbollah, probably aimed at Israel. That would require an Israeli counterattack, possibly aimed at Iran. I mean, you could see how quickly that could spin out of control. And even if that didn't happen, it is just as likely that an American attack on Assad would not convince him to refrain from using chemical weapons. It could well convince him that he's in for a penny and in for a pound, and it's time to unleash his entire chemical arsenal. This whole thing was the result of the president making a very foolish statement last year of being humiliated when his bluff was called and acting out on that frustration. That is precisely why the founders believed that giving the question of war or peace to a single flawed human being was a really bad idea. You needed to make that decision in Congress assembled with the representatives of all of the people exercising their judgment.
Congressman McClintock, as we move forward now with these negotiations with Russia and this situation, I mean, yes, everyone agrees if we could get chemical weapons out of Syria and have them destroyed, that is an interest of the United States, certainly. But also realistically, it's a country embattled in a very real civil war with Hezbollah fighting Al-Qaeda. Not really a side for the United States to join. I don't really buy into the arguments from some who have supported not just this possible strike, but actually more support now. Reports are coming out that we are arming the rebels. I mean, how on earth can an agreement at the UN to disarm these chemical weapons really work if we are going to have to work with the Assad regime to do that, who's now finally admitted to having chemical weapons, but are then arming those who are trying to kill his troops and trying to overthrow his government? It seems like yet another quagmire set up by the administration.
Well, again, I view it somewhat differently. I think the Russian diplomatic initiative is nothing but farce, ruse, and is entirely illusory. But it is the excuse that the president seized on to back off of the untenable position that he had put himself, the country, and the world in. He was facing an overwhelming bipartisan rejection of his proposal. He needed to get out of it. This Russian ruse gave him the opportunity to get out of it. My suspicion is we're going to see this simply fade into the background of events and be subsumed by much more recent events as they unfold. And not in Syria, but domestically.
Yeah, we've got a lot of big domestic issues. Let me ask you about this, that, Congressman, as a final question to you, Congressman McClintock. We've got, I mean, you've got the October 1st deadline, the Obamacare, the defunding efforts, all of that. Where do you stand as we get forward this towards this congressional resolution and America is refocusing its attention on also domestic affairs? And will our government be funded? Will it stay open? Will there be a fight over Obamacare that possibly defunds it and puts it on the president's desk or at least to the Senate? Where do you stand there?
Well, I happen to agree with Rand Paul and Ted Cruz that the best way to defund Obamacare is to defund Obamacare. Nobody is arguing for a government shutdown. Quite the contrary. Many of us fiscal conservatives who would otherwise reject any continuing resolution because it abrogates Congress's fundamental responsibility to superintend the nation's finances. It basically just takes all of the waste of and excess spending in the government and kicks it down the road another year. But we are willing to support a continuing resolution to keep open the entire federal government, except to stop funding Obamacare, which is having a catastrophic impact on our economy. People are seeing their hours cut back to 29 hours. Many are losing their jobs, many more are losing the health plans they were promised they could keep. And those who aren't impacted by one of those factors are seeing massive increases in their new health plan costs under Obamacare. It's devastating to the economy. It is a threat to the quality of our and excess of our health care, and it needs to be stopped. And I would be willing to fund everything else in the government that I think is wasteful in order to defund Obamacare.
I think you're exactly right, Congressman. I think this is a real one of those last opportunities, you know, trying the courts. Courts are not the final arbiter here. We have Congress who could step up and do this, but it will take lots of members of Congress just like you. Congressman Tom McClintock, California's 4th Congressional District. Congressman, great interview, and thank you for being with us today and joining us on the broadcast.
It's my pleasure, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
And let me echo the message from Congressman Tom McClintock, who was just joining us from California's 4th Congressional District. We may need to make sure that no aid, no U.S. services, whether it is armed forces, now we're arming the rebels, that none of this gets to Al-Qaeda. We've got a petition. Join our petition to make sure there is no U.S. support to Al-Qaeda. Call now, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. And when we come back, the IRS issue front and center. I was on Fox News with Neil Cavuto. My dad was on CNBC with Larry Kudlow. We'll play some of those interviews when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria.
Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, in just a moment here, I'm going to play two interviews for you on this breaking news involving the IRS scandal that's coming out of Washington, D.C. Jordan had a chance to go on Neil Cavuto's broadcast on Fox News yesterday. Jay was on with Larry Kudlow last night talking about these developments. Folks, the bottom line that you need to know on this, and you're going to hear it from both Jay and Jordan, the two main defenses that the IRS has used on this is that this was a scandal isolated in Cincinnati and that it was not political. The emails that the Ways and Means Committee has recovered from Lois Lerner refute unequivocally both of those points. In fact, one of the emails specifically instructs Lois Lerner's staff to not allow any cases to go out before Lois Lerner and Holly Paz have been briefed. And then, of course, on the political front, we already knew that Lois Lerner was interacting with the FEC and was sharing information with the FEC. Now we know that she was actually hoping for certain outcomes from the FEC when she said in an email, hopefully the FEC will save the day. And when the FEC did not save the day, folks, Lois Lerner stepped in, and in her words, she must have thought that she saved the day. Let's go ahead and take a listen to these two interviews. Again, this is Jordan on with Neil Cavuto and Jay on with Larry Kudlow.
You think this IRS scandal is just going to go away? Well, take a look at these newly released emails. You might be thinking again about that. A Tea Party is very dangerous. Cincy should probably not have these cases. These are the words of Lois Lerner. And if attorney Jordan Sekulow is right, these are words that are going to come back to bite her. The woman in charge of the very division that was overseeing what conservatives said were deliberate hit attacks on conservative and Tea Party groups. How big a deal do you think these revelations are going to be?
I think, Neil, that this has changed everything. This is the direct evidence that this was partisan political targeting. I mean, it was all coming together. There were various reasons for Lois Lerner to take the fifth, because she could be facing real criminal charges, but this just brought it all right to a head. We're actually looking at changing our lawsuit. I mean, the fact that she's calling the Tea Party cases, quote, very dangerous, and then says, in all caps, we're not going to run these through Cincinnati. On top of that, in June of 2012, she responds back to her top advisor's email about Senate Democrats being in trouble because of outside conservative money, and she writes back, perhaps the FEC will save the day. Well, you know what happened, Neil? The FEC didn't save the day for Democrats, but
Lois
Lerner did.
You're talking about the Federal Election Commission. I do want to backtrack a little bit, Jordan.
She shut down the Tea Party.
You know this inside and out, but I just want to say the allegations in the beginning of the IRS was targeting conservative groups willy-nilly out of Washington. The original argument was these were some rogue agents in Cincinnati.
Right.
When you have Lois Lerner now saying, you know, maybe we should be moving this back to Washington, that clearly dislodges that argument. So what's going to happen now? What do you think happens now? She's going to be compelled to testify again. They have to probably do some sort of a deal to make that happen. What do you see happening?
Well, there's two big dates coming up. There's a hearing next week with the IRS Acting Commissioner Danny Werfel. And I think the question for him will be, you had a 30-day review where you said there was no evidence of partisan targeting, and yet you've got a woman who is the head of exempt organization, Lois Lerner, who takes the fifth, who's got these emails incriminating her. So why didn't you find those? Then we've got October 7th, the government has to respond to our 41-group lawsuit. So that's coming up as well, Neil, October 7th. So I think we're going to see, again, congressional hearings. The big question, I think we're at that point now, Lois Lerner is either going to have to be granted immunity or she's going to stop speaking. So I think congressional investigators, because I think she'd sing like a bird if she has that immunity, which would prevent her from criminal prosecution. Because when you see these emails that are being released, this is someone who could be going to jail. And so it'd be worth it to her to take that immunity and testify. But what we do know now is that this was all Washington 100% and a complete lie about Cincinnati, trying to throw that on those low-level workers like they tried to do. The White House should have known better.
All right. She should have known better, too. Word to the wise.
That's
any of you
right.
Contemplating a crime, don't email it.
Finally tonight, the IRS has maintained that the conservative targeting scandal wasn't politically motivated. But a House investigation is telling a very different story. Today's Wall Street Journal highlights several emails from possible ringleader Lois Lerner, and it suggests that the targeting was indeed political. Joining me to talk about this is Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice. Thank you, Jay. Nobody knows this better than you. I just want to start. Let's just go through it. All right. First one. Let me see. February 2011. First one. The Tea Party matter is very dangerous. Lois right. Lerner emails some of her high command, her high advisors. Now, what if the Tea Party matter is very dangerous? What is she talking about?
Well, she was concerned that the Tea Party cases could be used possibly as a vehicle for future litigation regarding the Citizens United case. She says that in an email. She also says in an email that the Tea Parties are so dangerous that the Cincinnati office shouldn't be handling these cases, that counsel must get involved in this. She then gets another email. I mean, there's a series of three of these, as you mentioned, but the idea that you're saying that this the Tea Party case is very dangerous, she talks about it not coming out of Cincinnati and says not in all caps in this email. I'll tell you this much, Larry. You know why she took the Fifth Amendment.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt why she took the Fifth Amendment.
She's basically refuting the entire IRS narrative,
correct,
including her own, before the Fifth. So you're right. All right, let's go. We got another one. This is just great fun. July 10th. 2012, okay? You got emails from staffers. The Senate Democratic Fundraising Committee is very concerned that the Tea Party conservative groups are getting money and they're not. And so Lois Lerner says in an email, well, perhaps the FEC, the Federal Election Committee, will save the day.
Yeah.
Huh? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, she was in communications, number one, with the FEC lawyers, which was a violation of the Internal Revenue Code as well, because she was sharing taxpayer information, which she was not entitled to do with the FEC. That's number one. Number two is my colleague at the American Center for Law and Justice, David French, said today, she actually didn't have to wait for the FEC to save the day because, Larry, she stopped approving the C-4 applications of the Tea Party groups. Yeah. So she did not have to wait for the FEC. She did it herself. She did it illegally. She did it unconstitutionally. She violated her own statutes. But she did it because, remember, they went stone silent on approvals by 2012, completely
right.
stopped.
I got to zip through the last one.
Yep.
June 2012, okay, there's an email.
My favorite.
This is great, where Lois Lerner says they've changed the process, blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is the process went on for two more years. And the second fact of the matter is, from Dave Camp's Ways and Means Committee, as of May 31st, 2013, like that's just a few months
right.
ago, 56 conservative groups have outstanding applications not done, so they don't know if they've changed anything.
Well, let me tell you this, Larry. In addition to applications being outstanding, as the committee has noted, I will tell you this from our clients: we were still getting letters in May of 2013 requesting information, follow-up information, more intrusive information from our clients. So as late as a few months ago, the IRS was still engaging in the conduct that got them into trouble in the first place, and that Lois Lerner said, we stopped. She also said in an email, by the way, that this is just going to be a quote-unquote, we'll get dinged on this, as if it's going to be a small matter. Of course, she ends up losing her job, although we're still, the American taxpayer is still paying
still
Lois Lerner
her.
Right now. We're still paying for her.
All right, well, I think these, I don't know, you know better than I do.
Makes
I
the case a good case.
These are all pretty close to being smoking guns anyway. Thank you. Jay Sekulow, you're the best. Absolutely the best.
Folks, we will, of course, keep you posted on the IRS scandal. Big hearing in the Ways and Means Committee next week. But today, as we close the broadcast, if you want to stand with our petition saying no funding for Al-Qaeda in Syria, call now 877-989-2255. No military action on behalf of someone who is allied with Al-Qaeda. 877-989-2255, and we'll talk to you next week. So
the American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.